Today's gospel is taken from the first chapter of Matthew. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts with wild honey. He proclaimed, 'The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" The Gospel of the Lord. So we'll talk more about John the Baptist in a second, but I start with a joke frequently, but this time I'm going to do a couple of puns, so get ready. There's 30 of them, but I'm not doing 30. I've just got the best of. You can decide. And they get better or they don't, depending on your perspective. So a chicken crossing the road is poultry in motion. Poultry in motion. Right. They're not going to get better unless you start laughing. Then they might get better. So two hats were hanging on a hat rack in the hallway. One hat said to the other, "You stay here. I'll go on ahead." That's right. Oh, yes. Two silkworms had a race. They ended up in a tie. Time flies like an arrow. Fruit flies like a banana. That's a subtle one. That's not for everybody. No matter how much you push the envelope, it'll still be stationary. Yeah, I know. I should have said that one a little better. But a rubber band pistol was confiscated from algebra class because it was a weapon of math disruption. Oh, they're getting worse. The worse I try. Yeah, boo. Yeah. All right. The last one before I get booed off the stage. A small boy swallowed some coins and was taken to a hospital. When his grandmother telephoned to ask how he was, a nurse said, "No change yet." All right. Yeah, that was a groaner. That was a groaner. Well, we'll save those for Pastor Beth can get the rest of them. This gospel is the gospel of Mark, and it is the beginning of the gospel. In fact, it's the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's how this gospel starts, the first verse in the gospel of Mark. And so what I want to suggest is three things. The first thing is John the Baptist is a truth teller, like I talked about in the children's time. So he speaks the truth, and he says basically, something is coming. Something is coming, and it's big, and it's bigger than me, and you all have come to listen to me, and we're in the Jordan, and we're baptizing, and you're confessing your sins, and your sins are forgiven, but this guy who's coming, Jesus, he's bigger than me. And so, what I want to suggest the theme of the gospel is this phrase, or these two sentences: Jesus is always ahead of us, and God will be waiting. That's the theme of the Gospel of Mark. That's, I would say, what our Christian theme is. Jesus is always ahead of us. God will be waiting. So in this Gospel, you have John the Baptist coming, and he says Jesus is coming. And he's going to be big. So Jesus comes, and he's baptized by John, and the first thing that happens to Jesus when he's baptized, he comes out of the water, and God says, "This is my son. He is beloved. This is the one. This is the one I've sent for you." And then the first thing he says, Jesus says, is, "Repent, The kingdom of God is near. Turn and come. Follow me. And his first disciples follow him. So that's the thing you have. Turn, faith, and follow. That's the program that Jesus brings. Turn to me, have faith, and follow. Then there's the rest of the gospel that you have a lot of healings. And so that's a way that many people come to Jesus. And that's a way that maybe you've come to Jesus before. You need something in your life. You're sick. You're hurting. Someone else that you love and know and just you want them to be better and you don't know what else to do. Jesus, make them better. Heal them. Give them a spirit of peace. So whether it's you or whether it's someone else, because that's how it is in the gospel. There's one story of where a group of friends bring a guy on a mat who was a paralytic. He couldn't walk. And because of their faith, Jesus first says, your sins are forgiven. That's the use of the Holy Spirit, because it's a direct connection with God through Jesus. Your sins are forgiven. You are made whole spiritually. But so everybody knows, and he grabs his hand, take up your mat and walk. Healed in all ways because of the faith of his friends. Then you have a mom who comes to him. Says, my child is sick. Can you heal him? Well, we're busy eating right now. She says, please. And she's persistent. And he says, you know, you're right. And because of this, your daughter is healed. So that's a way, direct access to God. That's the program Jesus offered. And that's the big thing, is that God's grace and God's love and what God can do through Jesus is available to everybody regardless. To everybody regardless. And especially if you're hurting. There's a guy named Gene Vanier. He started the LARCH community, which is a community that works with people with developmental disabilities. And there's one in Tacoma that I grew to know related to St. Leo's Catholic Church. And it's a community that devotes their lives to caring for people who are extremely marginalized in our society. And so this is what he writes about our brokenness, which I think is kind of a theme of because John the Baptist is in the wilderness, and brokenness is a way to talk about being out there in the wilderness or being alone. This is what he says. Our brokenness is the wound through which the full power of God can penetrate our being and transfigure us in God. Loneliness is not something from which we must flee, but the place from where we can cry out to God, where God will find us and we can find God. Yes, through our wounds, the power of God can penetrate us and become like rivers of living water to irrigate the arid earth within us. Thus, we may irrigate the arid earth of others so that hope and love are reborn. So that's what happens in the gospel. And if you're here today, I hope you've experienced that with God through Jesus. When you've been in the wilderness, when you've needed help, God has come to you. And maybe God hasn't, because there's another way that Alan Powell, he's a New Testament guy, he suggested this is the way to think about God and about God in the gospel of Mark. It's kind of like hide and seek. Now, if you played hide-and-seek, maybe for some of you it's been a while since you've played hide-and-seek, but you ought to try it, just especially with a younger person, like someone who's 3 or less, maybe 4 or less, maybe 17. That's my daughter's age. She still likes to play hide-and-seek. But I remember playing with her when she was younger, and I've seen this in a lot of kids. So we go, you know, it's like, let's say it's her turn to hide. So, you know, I'll start counting, you know, count to 1,000. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 20, 100, 2. And you count to however far you're going to count. Then you go, ready or not, here I come. And you start looking, and you start looking around. And you know that they got the favorite places to hide. And if it's in a house, it's usually, you know, there's two or three places. So you get, and if you're big like me, there's no place to hide. So, but you try your best anyway. And you go, I wonder where Grace is. Is she over here? Is she over here? And see, she's got the smile on the face right now. And that's how it is with kids. That's how it is with all of us. When we're hiding, it's like, oh, you're not going to find me. But you can't wait till they find you, you know. And say, oh, I found you. Oh! And everybody gets all excited. And that's what it's like with God. God will be waiting. God is looking. God is ahead of us and looking around. I know you're coming. I know. I see you. I see it right there. That's what our God is like. Jesus is always ahead of us. God will be waiting. We are here in this moment, all of us, for various reasons. Our life has brought us here. And it's different for each of us. But I believe this statement is true for all of us right now. Jesus is ahead of us. God will be waiting. Jesus is here right now. God has been waiting for you right now, right here. And maybe it is because you need to be healed. Or maybe you just need to hear some words to a song that we're going to sing. Or maybe you need to, maybe for the first time, or just as a regular remembrance, remember that this water, this baptism to which we become part of the family of God, where all are welcome, that this is for me. And I need to remember, I am a beloved child of God. Because we are all a beloved child of God. So you have this whole gospel, the beginning of something great that's going to happen. And this is how it works. Jesus is coming. And he's huge. And he's going to bring love and forgiveness. And he's always going to be ahead of you. So if you think, I don't know where God is looking for you. And sometimes we might be on the other side hiding there because we need to hide something. There may be some things we're hanging on to. Pain. Loneliness. Sadness, frustration, maybe even frustration with God. But the promise is, Jesus is always ahead of us, and God will be waiting, and God will find us. Then it's just a matter of being open to it. So we have our story, and we know I'm giving a spoiler alert to what happens in the Gospel of Mark. It happens in all the Gospels, but in the end, Jesus dies and is resurrected. That happens on Easter, so stick around a couple months from now. We'll get to it. But on Easter, Jesus is resurrected. And in the Gospel of Mark, it ends with some women going to the tomb looking to see and to be with Jesus, to do some stuff, to help with the burial. And he's gone. And there's a person there that said, he has gone ahead. Go and tell the disciples. That's how this gospel ends. And the women run out in amazement and in fear. Just like throughout the gospel, whatever Jesus did, people were always amazed. This guy is blowing our mind. This person who is bigger than John the Baptist clearly is more than anything we've ever experienced in relation to God. And that's important for us because Jesus goes ahead. This story is not over. And it's our story that it's not over. And this became this truth. Jesus is always ahead of us. And God will be waiting. It became the clearest that I've ever known it when Beth and I were still living in Aberdeen. I was a chaplain at the hospital. And so I had a good friend, his name's Larry. He was a coach, he coached Grace. And his daughter is a year older than Grace. And so he was helping to coach, he coached basketball, baseball, softball. And he was coaching softball. But he was sick. And he had cancer. And not everybody knew how severe it was, but he was sitting and just, you know, watching the girls and sitting on a bucket as coaches do frequently, especially in softball and baseball, sitting on the bucket and do this and do that. And you sit, and he slumped over. 911 was called, and he came to the hospital. You know, and I got a call immediately from the other coach. It's a small community. You know, we know each other. And he said, "Hey, Larry's coming in. Can you be with him?" "Oh, absolutely." So I went to the emergency room, and I waited for him to come, and he was somewhat sedated. And he was laying there in the bed, and then he would wake up. The first time he woke up, it's like, "Whoa, what's happening? Where am I?" And he was confused. And he wasn't sure who he was. And I said, "Larry, you're Larry. It's all good." And he said, "Well, what happened?" I said, "You were at softball practice. You kind of slumped off the bucket. The emergency people came. You know, everything is good. You're here in the hospital." "Oh, but the girls, you know, I feel so bad about..." "No, Larry, they understand. They know what's going on. You're here. It's all good." "I don't know. I'm just..." And he just started to get agitated. And then we talked more. And I prayed with him. And then he kind of calmed down a little bit. And then he kind of dozed off. And then he woke again. "Whoa, what's happening? What's going on?" "I see Larry, you slumped over, you know. And, oh, but the girls, you know, I'm so..." And this happened again and again because his cancer had gone to his brain. And so he just repeated this over and over and over again, you know, until he was comforted enough and then fell back to sleep. Eventually, they got him some other medication to where he was able to sleep. He eventually, a couple weeks later, was at his home, in his bed, wrapped in his favorite blanket, just like I would love the blanket that Beth, the quilt that Beth made me. You know, he had some nice, comfy quilts, people who loved him very much around him, and he died. And that story is a sad story, yes, but it is a story that reminds me that Jesus is always ahead of us, and God will be waiting. Like me, sitting with Larry, God will be waiting regardless. God will be waiting regardless. God's love is there for us. It's there for us now. It's there for us always until the end of time. That's the beginning of good news. Amen.